Our first reading for the 16th Sunday after Pentecost is found in the Old Testament book of Genesis, chapter 50. This will serve as the basis for our meditation this evening. When Joseph's brothers saw that their father was dead, they said, "It may be that Joseph will hate us and will pay us back in full for all the evil that we did to him." They sent the following message to Joseph: "Before he died, your father commanded us, 'You are to tell Joseph, please forgive the offense of your brothers and their sin, because they did evil to you. Now, please forgive the offense of the servants of the God of your father.'" Joseph wept when they spoke to him. His brothers also came and fell down in front of him, and they said, "See now, we are your servants." Joseph said to them, "Do not be afraid, for am I in the place of God? You meant evil against me, but God meant it for good, to bring this to pass and to keep many people alive as it is this day. Now therefore, do not be afraid. I will nourish you and your little ones." He comforted them and spoke to them in a kind way. The word of the Lord. Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Am I in the place of God? Joseph's 11 brothers had thrown themselves face down on the ground before him. They had offered themselves up as his slaves. They would be his slaves for the rest of their lives. And so Joseph had a choice: to seek vengeance for old wrongs or to show mercy to these groveling brothers. Now, their old father Jacob had recently died, and that got them worried. You see, Joseph was a man in charge. Joseph was a man with real power, second in command only to mighty Pharaoh in the Egyptian Empire. Oh, they had wronged their brother badly years before. The guilt still ran powerfully through their hearts and minds. I mean, if dad's not around, is kind of this holding back Joseph, what could happen? What might Joseph do then? They even went so far as to say, "It may be that Joseph will hate us and will pay us back in full for all of the evil that we did to him." So there stood Joseph with his brothers face down in the dirt with a choice: vengeance or mercy. What exactly had these brothers done that got them so shaking in their sandals decades after it happened? See, when Joseph was growing up, it was pretty obvious who was dad's favorite. Joseph was dad's favorite. Joseph was the oldest son of Jacob's favorite wife, and that's another story. He had multiple wives. But Jacob, the favorite son of Jacob's wife, Rachel. And so Jacob poured out gifts and favor on his son. The brothers knew that Jacob loved him more than all the rest of them. And Jacob had 12 sons. But there was one that he loved more. And so these brothers, many of whom were older, were adults, they hated Joseph. You heard that right. They didn't just resent him. They didn't just get annoyed by him. They didn't just get bugged by him. They hated his guts. They had actual hate for their brother. As an immature teen, Joseph just made things worse. He threw more logs on the fire, just poured more gasoline on. One time, he ratted out his brothers for something bad that they did. "Hey, Dad, you know what they did?" And then there was that time when he started speaking about dreams that the Lord had allowed him to have, and he didn't hold back who he told. He was telling everybody that someday his family, even mom and dad, were going to bow down to him. And of course, this got Joseph's brothers jealous, just filled with envy, just mad. And finally, one day when Jacob sent Joseph out to the fields to go check on his brothers away from home, the brothers, their hate turned into action. They made plans to actually kill their brother. Life would be better without him alive than to have to deal with this punk. And so they even planned how they were going to explain to Dad how it all happened. This wild animal got him. Oh no, terrible, weepy, weepy. Yet when a caravan of merchants came by the cistern where they were holding Joseph captive, they got a better idea. Why just kill the guy and make no money on it? We can make a profit off of our brother if we sell him into slavery, and we'd never see him again. They thought they would never see Joseph again, that they would be free from him, that life would be better. What they didn't realize is that they were now going to have to deal with guilt that would haunt them for decades. Nearly 30 years after Joseph was sold into captivity, the brothers, now humbler, older, and wiser, well, they showed up in Egypt where Joseph ended up. They sought grain for their families and flocks because there was a severe famine, years-long famine, that was hitting that entire region. And so they went to the ruler in charge of the grain, and this guy just turned the screws on them, just put them to the test again and again. Now, they didn't realize it was Joseph, who himself had gone through seasons of hardship and difficulty, going from slavery to false accusations to imprisonment for years, being forgotten until finally the Lord in his grace allowed him to become second in command in all of Egypt. But Joseph wasn't trying to be harsh. He wanted to see if his brothers' hearts and attitudes had changed. And it became pretty clear very quickly that guilt weighed heavy on their hearts. It became quite clear that they had all changed for the better. Now, when Joseph did tearfully reveal his identity, his brothers were terrified. I mean, they thought the guy had been dead for 30 years. But he comforted them. He spoke kindly to them. He helped them. He provided them with plenty of food. He even provided wagons and animals to bring the whole family to Egypt, where he had this beautiful portion of land for their family and flocks where they could live in safety and they'd be well taken care of. He cared for their every need. He showered them with grace and kindness and love. And then Jacob died. And all the fear and all the guilt and all the worry about Joseph's real intentions came roaring back. Joseph had forgiven them, but consider how powerful guilt is. These brothers expected Joseph to be old Joe, who was going to turn the tables on those who had hurt him so badly long ago, who was going to let his bitterness finally have its day. I mean, they had it coming, right? The brothers panicked, and so they came up with a plan. They sent Joseph a message. They themselves could not even say this to him. They said, "Before he died, your father commanded us, you are to tell Joseph, please forgive the offense of your brothers and their sin because they did evil to you. Now please forgive the offense of the servants of the God of your father." No likelihood Jacob never said this at all. But the brothers wanted to avoid Joseph's vengeance. They wanted him, if they could invoke dad, dear old dad, they'd be all right. They didn't trust Joseph. Their guilt was too strong. They feared their brother. And yet, when Joseph received this word from his brothers, he wept. Am I in the place of God? Have you ever found yourself with a choice like Joseph? Do I avenge an old wrong to make sure that person who wronged me is really sorry and I'm finally satisfied, or do I show them mercy and let it go? Every one of us at some point has been on either side of that choice. Perhaps you were the one who did the wrong. You did something to a loved one or a friend that you hope they will forget, that you hope won't come back to haunt you, that you hope vengeance will not be carried out. As time goes on, you know, guilt can be pretty powerful. You worry that vengeance is coming. You might even live in a state of like low-grade panic. Will they let it go or not? Is this thing, activity or this memory going to trigger something? I mean, can I trust that they will let it go even if they told me they've forgiven me? Or will a reminder of that painful memory trigger bitterness anew in them, leading them to finally turn the tables on me and get the vengeance they've always wanted? You worry. And so you do everything you can to get them to forget it or to think that they don't want to get you back anyway. Then there are times when you're the one who's been wronged. The memory of what that person has done or failed to do lives on in your mind, and you ruminate about it. When they apologize, whether you say it or not, you question their sincerity. Are they really sorry? Maybe even think to yourself, I won't forgive you until you're truly sorry and I'm satisfied. I want what's right for my wrong. And maybe what happened to you is so painful that you think to yourself, I can't forget this. Even if I forgive them, it just keeps coming back. And so you're tempted to keep score, to carefully tally that debt and all the debts that that person has accrued to you. In a sense, you end up holding that person who has wronged you in a kind of guilt slavery when you need to let their wrong go. Why? Well, friends, are we in the place of God? Guilt is a powerful thing. So is our desire for fairness and vengeance. It's in our culture, it's in our communities, it's in our homes, it's in our hearts. Yet who are we to put ourselves into the place of God? Who are we to demand punishment from someone who has wronged us until our vengeance is satisfied when God himself could rightly demand the same from us at any moment? Our God is a holy God. No one corrupted by sin or stained with sin can stand in his presence. If he wanted to, God could demand our lives right now that we pay up our debt of sin and die eternally. That would be right. That would be fair. That would be just. That would be what we would expect. But he does not. Am I in the place of God? There was no vengeance in Joseph's heart. I mean, he remembered everything. He remembered being in that cistern, fearing for his life. He remembered all the garbage he had to go through in Egypt. But all that he had for his brothers in his heart at that moment was forgiveness. You could see that in his tears at the desperate message from his brothers, and they're groveling on the ground, requesting to become, of all things, his slaves. Joseph recognized his own sin. And by experience, he knew how the Lord of free and faithful grace had shown him mercy. Joseph had lived a story of God's forgiveness, kindness, and grace that started with him being sold into slavery. And in the end, Joseph realized he wasn't God. He wasn't in the center of God's story. He wasn't the center of the story of God's love. He just represented God. He was another piece in that wonderful story of our salvation that didn't end with Joseph. Instead, God was using him to bring the glory and forgiveness of God to others so they would see who really was God, the coming Messiah, Jesus Christ. And so Joseph spoke tenderly to the hearts of his brothers. Sometime you should compare these words here with Isaiah 40, you know, it's Genesis, it says he spoke in a kind way. The same words in Isaiah 40 where God commands his prophet to speak tenderly, speak to the heart of Jerusalem after their suffering. He says, "Do not be afraid, for am I in the place of God? You meant evil against me, but God meant it for good to bring this to pass and to keep many people alive as it is this day. Now, therefore, do not be afraid. I will nourish you and your little ones." Joseph comforted them with grace. He spoke to them with genuine kindness. He showed them compassion. They didn't deserve it, but they needed it. And he also probably realized that he would have to do this again and again and again as that guilt of his brothers would come back again and again and again over time, as that guilt would rear its ugly head and he would have to show them grace again. Am I in the place of God? Our God does not treat us as our sins deserve. He is quick to forgive, quick to cover our guilt with forgiveness, quick to comfort our hearts with his grace in Christ, quick to cleanse us with the blood of Christ. Yeah, we do recognize our sins and what they deserve. Yet each of us has experienced the mercy of our gracious God. We have a Savior who, even more than Joseph, is the pinnacle of forgiveness, the pinnacle of mercy. We have experienced compassion, though we don't deserve any of it. We've been set free from that slavery of guilt by the good news, by the gospel of our Savior Jesus. My sin ends at the cross, and so does yours. Because there Jesus suffered the full wrath of God that you deserve. So now you and I can set free those whom we hold as guilt slaves. We of all people should know compassion because we have been shown it. We have been set free, and so God now uses us to set free others again and again when that powerful guilt comes back. But Pastor, I can't forget. Notice I'm not telling you to forgive and forget. Because hindsight is always 20/20. It's amazing what we can remember when someone has wronged us, even if we forgive them. And so something along the way triggers those painful feelings again. And in those times, that's when we need to go back to the forgiveness that is ours in Christ. If I have wronged someone, I go back and confess that sin to God. I receive His absolution. I receive His forgiveness individually again and again, because that's how our God deals with us every day. And if I have been wronged, I go back to the one who has set me free. I go back to the one who set me free with His forgiveness and grace, and who sets others free through me. I am not in the place of God. I just represent Him, and so do you. So rather than seeking vengeance, because that's what's fair to pay the debts others owe me, or fearing vengeance from those I have wronged, we live in grace. We live out compassion. We show kindness and mercy genuinely and sincerely again and again, as God has shown mercy and kindness to us again and again. Our Savior speaks tenderly to our hearts with words of comfort and absolution day after day. And then He speaks that comfort and absolution through our own lips to others, that we might set them free, that He might set them free for all eternity. Amen.